And welcome back to Coast Open Lines now. So let your fingers do the walking and make the call. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Welcome back to the open line portion of the program. Whatever is on your mind, let's start the night with Paul in Boston, Mass. Hello, Paul.
George, belated happy birthday.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
You know, in keeping with the anniversary of Normandy, and then shortly we'll be having the surrender of the Japanese, people don't understand how deeply entrenched the Communist Party was during the war years. And a few months ago, there was a gentleman called, and he was bemoaning the fact that Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were put to death innocently, and you kind of pushed them off. And I was the next caller, and I said, I thought that was kind of funny because I worked for the FBI agent who was outside their cell. And you said, I want to hear that story some night when it's open time. So I don't know if you want to hear the story or not.
Yeah, I'd like to. Of course, they were convicted for being spies, and then they were executed.
Yep. You know, when you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. And they were an integral part. She was more than he was. They were an integral part of the spy network. But she was adamant it was going to be Mother Russia or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a son who spent a lot of his time trying to prove them innocent. And she didn't care about the son. She said, my family will raise him. And Julius didn't dare go against her. So the whole thing was that they had been given a death sentence.
Did he get pulled in on it because of her?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she had something going either with her sister-in-law or her brother-in-law.
So he was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right. He just used to be the carrier pigeon between them.
Yeah, but he knew what was going on, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And because they were both members of the party. And
there was an incredible paranoia at the time anyway about the Communist Party.
They had, because they had the son, they were given the death sentence. But the whole thing came out, there was other people down the line that they wanted information on. And all he had to do was give them some corroboration. And the life sentence, the death sentence would have been commuted to life. And then down the line, they would have been given...
They would have been paroled.
A reduced sentence because of the son.
Yeah.
And she was adamant they wouldn't do it. So for the whole week, he spent outside their cell. And they wouldn't budge. And, of course, now he's sitting outside the death cell.
You're talking about the FBI guy you knew.
Right.
All right.
And you know, it got to be a half an hour before the time was appointed, and the warden and he decided that they would do him first, because if they did Ethel, he would have immediately rolled. And they figured if he didn't have enough gonads to go against her now and save the, you know, the child.
Sure, he wouldn't do it then.
They weren't interested. So he rolled up, unplugged the telephone and rolled it up. Now, who do you think was on the other end of that line?
I have no idea.
J. Edgar Hoover.
No.
Yep. All he had to do, Hoover would have stopped the execution.
If he talked.
That kind of power.
If they would have talked, he would have stopped the execution.
Yep. And then they would have had their cooperation, the hearings, and so forth, hold them off for a couple of years.
And you're convinced they were guilty of sin, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. That, you know, you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. The Communist Party was so deep that they were pulling jobs and letting the Germans take credit for it during the Second World War as spies. But you had Rome with the Bund for 10 years running back and forth all over America with the German American Bund, and the Communist parties were very quiet, and they had little doorstep meeting rooms on in all of the big cities.
You must have seen a lot. Paul, when were you born?
I was born in 35.
1935. So the war was kicked in. You were 9, 10 when it was over.
I'm German extraction, and I could speak German. I didn't dare speak it on the street because I had to fight all the Irish kids.
Oh, right. They beat the heck out of you.
But the whole thing was, this is a funny story.
Hold that for next time. Hold your story for the next time, because I've got 1,000 callers rolling in here on open lines, and the time will go by quickly. But do that. But thanks. I appreciate that. That's an interesting little tidbit. Blair in Sedona, Arizona, welcome to the program. Hey, Blair, welcome.
Belated birthday wishes, George. As a baby boomer fan, you're a bit Arthur Godfrey, Casey Kasem, and Ed Sullivan, my friend.
Yes, sirree. Thank you.
I've been doing some research into the psychological causes and prevention of Alzheimer's. My dad died of it in the mid-80s, including a spiritual aspect of the disease, and I'd like to share some of my findings with you, if I may.
Sure.
Well, there's a direct physical connection between the disease and the dysfunction of the ability to release one's bowels. In other words, you know, people holding in terms of experiences and relationships, emotional stuff gets compacted inside of your abdomen. And the colon and intestines are the area where our solar plexus is, and tremendous pressure from the buildup inside the stomach and carrying this around creates difficulty for the spirit to maintain contact with the body. And so Alzheimer's is almost like a trance-like sleep, it has been said. People with Alzheimer's have a tendency to free up their thoughts that they've held in inhibition, and it forces individuals to express themselves emotionally. So actually there's a positive side to it.
What made you check into this? Because of your father?
Yes, sir. He had Alzheimer's and then Parkinson's in his 83rd, 84th year, I believe.
Is that what eventually killed him?
Yeah. And so you look at that, too, from the family history and stuff, you know. So there's a psychological aspect to it. And one of the things that is interesting is for folks to sort of pay attention to your friends and family members who may have Alzheimer's, because it said they might have nothing going wrong with them. They're just simply having a different experience from the other side. So it's not all crazy.
What are the onset symptoms?
Well, basically, the first one that comes to mind as you get older is the short-term memory loss that sometimes starts to pick up as we get more and more into thing, that gnawing feeling, oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. I mean, that happens to a lot of folks.
But you don't necessarily have Alzheimer's.
No. One of the things is there's 7 things that you can do to prevent it. There is a research party to put it together. I'll read one sentence of each of the 7 things if you like, just a sentence apiece.
Real
quickly.
Number
one, yeah, minimize your trans fats. Most saturated fat has triple the risk of developing Alzheimer's. Vegetables, eat vegetables. Number 2, lots of fruits. Number 3, 5 milligrams of vitamin E daily.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, get yourself some B12 supplements. Now, that's in animal products, but also you can find it in plants. Number 5, avoid multivitamins and iron and copper unless directed by your doctor. 6, avoid cooking with aluminum pots and pans. Use stainless steel or cast iron. And finally, 7, walk briskly 3 times a week for at least 40 minutes. You'll reduce your risk for dementia 40 or 50%.
That's amazing. It really is. And, of course, I supplement like crazy, so I get it in there. Anyways, text and tweets, we're going to do that tonight. And Tom will be getting one for us in just a second. Let's go to Alex in Houston. Welcome to the show. Hi, Alex. Go ahead.
Hey, George. It's an honor. It really is. I'm Navy, too, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So I have 2 points. So I'm going to try to make them quick. I know it's going to take a while, like 3 to 4 minutes probably. So my first point is on Brent Stewart. I know he's a life coach. I don't know if you've had him on the show or not. He's a remote viewer. He's led like a lot of people in remote viewing projects. And one of them is a YouTube video. One day I saw that he was talking about a pyramid that was found, that his team found underground in North America. And inside this pyramid, there's an ascension chair. So basically the ancients were able to use the chair to ascend into like these spiritual beings or beings with wings and stuff like that. Kind of reminds me of the Mothman.
Uh-huh.
So it'd be nice to have him on the show.
Yeah, I don't think he's been on. I'm pretty sure he's not been on.
Second point is, second topic is my sister. So I'm basically asking for prayers. Last summer she was, and this is emotional. So last time she was hit by a drunk driver, and she was she's a quadriplegic now. She's paralyzed. So just, you know, maybe the listeners can do a little prayer with her.
Absolutely. We'll put her on the prayers list to be sure. Thank you. Text and tweets, Tom, you've got one now?
I do, but first I want to ask you something. Where did the first fortune cookie come from?
The first, I would guess it came from someplace in China.
California.
Really? They invented them?
Really.
It's not Chinese?
Guy in San Francisco.
Interesting.
Natalie from Bethesda, Maryland wants to ask this. Would you know why JFK was in a convertible and not a hard top?
He should have been in a hard top.
Right.
He was in an open limousine, and it was the wrong thing, and he should have been advised about that. I have a feeling he wanted the public to see him. I think he kind of insisted on it, but it was a disaster.
I read that he wanted to see the crowd and wave at him.
Yep, and he wanted them to see him.
And it was a different time back then, so they didn't really fear something.
But he had been warned. He had been warned a couple times. I mean, there were many plans to try to get him in different cities, Chicago and Tampa, and he just didn't take heed.
One of the greatest conspiracies of all time.
Yep, it is. And, of course, November 22nd will be coming up again. We'll be doing one of our conspiracy shows.
Yes, we will.
All right, thanks. Tom will get you another couple texts and tweets before open lines are done tonight. East of the Rockies, Steve in Heron, South Dakota is with us. Welcome to the program. Stephen, good to have you with us. Go ahead.
I was going to ask your question, I guess, or your guest a question. I know the answer to this, but I'll ask you to see if you know.
All right.
Why are fire engines red?
Why are fire engines red?
Yes.
I think because it's more noticeable for traffic. That's my guess.
Wrong.
Why are fire engines red?
2 and 2 is 4. 4 times 3 is 12. There are 12 inches in a ruler. Queen Elizabeth was a ruler. Queen Elizabeth was also a boat. Boats sail on seas. Seas have fish. Fish have fins. The fins fought the Russians, and the Russians are red. And that's why fire engines are red, because they're rusting all over. And you know where I got that?
Where'd you get that?
Off of Three Stooges bubblegum.
I love it. Three Stooges bubblegum. We got to talk about old-time shows one day. They were the best. Three Stooges, the Bowery Boys, all those from way gone back. Classics, to be sure. Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina is with us. Hey, how you doing, Bear?
Hello there, George. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I often see a ghost. Because I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
I think the song that we let Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top hear was better.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. But listen, I wanted to ask a question about UFO, Phil, but let me tell you something I told Tommy a minute ago. Martha and I were laughing and cutting up the other afternoon. She said, well, Barry, there's good news and bad news about your teeth. And I said, what's that, Martha? She said, well, the bad news is you don't have any teeth. But the good news is you got good-looking gums.
Well, you got to have the good gums if you're going to have good teeth. When are you going in for the implants?
Oh, gosh, I haven't even decided yet, George. It's $4,000, and I don't want to pay it.
You don't have insurance for that?
No, darn it, I don't have Social Security Plan D. I don't get dental coverage, so it's all out of pocket.
Ah.
But anyway, we'll talk about that later. But here's my happy 70th birthday.
Who?
You're supposed to say, wait a minute, I'm not 70.
I'm not 70, I'm 52.
That's right. I remember because you were 49 3 years ago.
That's right.
But listen, tell me the story and the history behind that wonderful UFO film, which you'll have on later tonight. And have a happy birthday, George, and thank you, Tommy, and so much for being on. I'm gonna listen to you off the air, but let me know what you're not gonna know about UFO Phil.
Well, let me tell you, he came to us years ago when I started doing the program. He was a caller at the time, and he'd always call in and he'd go, "Can you keep a secret?" And then he'd tell us a story and stuff like that. And then one day, he sent us this UFO Phil song that we end on Fridays, and yep. He put it together. I don't know his real name, but we think he's an actor somewhere in Los Angeles, and he's a clever guy. He's out there. His website, I check every once in a while, but I think it's down. I don't think it's working anymore. I don't know what's going on with him.
Well, that's true. He possibly could have passed away or something.
No, I don't think he died. I think we would have heard if he had died.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I tell you what, it's a great little song. And, I mean, I always love listening to it, and thanks for playing it. But have a great holiday, summer, and I'm going to see you next spring in Asheville, North Carolina. You can believe I'll be there if I'm still alive.
I think we may have a show there.
I think, Tommy told me they probably come.
I think
he's
there. We're going to have 5 live shows next year.
That's
so
great.
He's working on the cities now, and most of them will be brand new cities. Asheville has been a great town to go to every couple of years, so we'll probably head back to there.
Well, you're going to love Miramar, that whole area down there. I spent a lot of time in Lauderdale, and believe me, you're going to have a great crowd down there, George.
Yeah, it's fun. It's 50 days away. It's quick.
Yep, exactly. Have fun.
All right. Thanks, Barry. Barry's one of a kind. He truly is. I want to give you some little notes before we hit the break. Then we'll come back with more open lines. We've got a YouTube channel going for you, and you can subscribe to it for free by going to YouTube. Type in Coast to Coast AM Official in the search bar, and it'll pop up, and you can just subscribe to it that way, or you can reach it through the YouTube icon that you'll see at coasttocoastam.com as well. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We send out notes all the time. Just sent one out, and you'll enjoy them all. The webmasters are on top of things, and they do it all the time. And then I go to the website as well and read Tim Banal's stories that he picks out for us. But we'll be back with more Open Lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Open Lines here on Coast to Coast. Hey, by the way, in a couple weeks, I'm going to have Stephen Cohen back on the program. He's an expert on Russia and Putin, and something's going on there. I mean, they're playing dodgeball with destroyers and ships. He's got a relationship now with China. There's something strange going on, so we're going to talk with Stephen Cohen about that and get his take. Let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Greg in Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies, to get us started here. Hi, Gregory.
Yes, hello, George.
How are you? All well?
Yes, I'm fine. How are you tonight?
Good, thanks.
I enjoyed your segment with Dr. Knowledge earlier.
He's got a lot of knowledge, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. I got this question from him, in fact, this trivia question. You were discussing the moon landing. It's the 50th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very ironic question. It concerns Buzz Aldrin. He was the second man on the moon.
That's right.
After Neil Armstrong. The question is, what is his mother's maiden name?
What was Buzz Aldrin's mother's maiden name?
Right.
I have no idea.
It was Moon.
No.
Yes.
That's weird.
Yeah, I got this from Dr. Knowledge a while back.
That is interesting.
One of his knowledge in a nutshell facts.
That is the synchronicities are strange, aren't they?
Yeah, very ironic that was.
I love that. That's cool. We had Buzz on the show many, many years ago. I'd love to get him back on again. That would be intriguing. Nadine's with us in Columbus, Ohio, first-time caller. Hello, Nadine. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Now, I have a question, but to lead up to it, I have a little bit of a story.
Okay.
I grew up in a two-story house, and one of my earliest memories, I was about 3 or 4 years old and learning to go potty by myself upstairs in the dark. And my mom had put a little bedside lamp in her bedroom that would shine out into the hallway. So I would go up because I couldn't reach the bathroom light, and I would go into the bathroom and leave the door ajar. Now I'm about 3 or 4 years old, and I'm up there all by myself, and I'm watching the light because that's the only thing that's keeping me from screaming.
Yeah.
And I saw a shadow, which means that whatever I saw was in the hallway.
Okay.
Because the light was behind it. And I, of course, yelled for my mom, and they wanted me to describe it, and I said it looked like a praying mantis. Now, imagine my surprise when I had you turned on one night, and you said something about mantis people,
yep.
And every hair on my body stood up.
How big was this shadow look?
About 6 feet.
Wow. Okay.
And so what I was wondering is if you can tell me a little bit about mantis people, because I'd never heard about them. And I told my sister about this, too, and she said, that's like what happened to you when you were little. And I said, I know, I've got to find out more about this.
They're supposed to be extraterrestrials.
Well, I grew up in Mansfield, which had in the 70s, 60s and 70s, the highest reported sightings.
Of UFO cases.
Sightings.
Yeah, that's true. But these praying mantis type,
weird.
They're supposed to be extraterrestrials that look like praying mantis. Do you remember the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Oh, absolutely.
Right at the end when the ET was coming out of the craft, it was one of those praying mantis types.
That's what the shadow looked like.
What happened to it? Did it just disappear?
When I saw it and started yelling for my mommy, I closed my eyes and it was gone, and she came up the stairs and it was gone.
Well, mommies have a way of saving us, don't they?
No kidding. By the way, I really enjoyed your mom being on the show, too.
Yeah, she's something else.
She's great. So do you know anything? I mean, are they benevolent? Could they have...
No, I don't think they're benevolent.
Oh, dear.
I don't think so. But, I mean, you somehow got out of it okay.
Apparently, yeah. I mean, because mom, I guess, but... It was very freaky, and it's one of my earliest memories, of course. I'm a Gemini, too. I'll be 61 in 10 days.
Oh, cool. Well, happy upcoming birthday for you.
But for me to remember that when I was only 3 or 4, you know, it made an impression.
No question about it. But that's what it is. These praying mantis-type objects or creatures are supposed to be extraterrestrials.
And not benevolent ones.
And I don't believe so.
Is there anywhere that you know that I can even read up on more about them?
Yeah, just Google it. Just Google praying mantis, ETs, and a whole bunch of stuff will come up.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Nadine.
It really freaked me out when I heard you say that.
it would. I mean, those are strange-looking creatures. But, as an insect, I love praying mantises.
Oh, I do, too. We have thousands in our backyard from tiny
long
ones.
Yeah, they are so cool. If you ever put one in your hand and look at it, it kind of tilts its head and looks at you, and its eyes move. It's almost like a little human being.
They're very gentle to us, but they're so good for the garden.
Yep, they sure are. Hey, thanks. Enjoy. Let's move on to Kevin in Indiana. Hey, Kev, welcome to the program.
Hey, George.
Hi. Thanks there.
Taking my call.
Good to see you. Might have a live show in Indianapolis next year. You got to come see us.
Well, I might see you in Florida, actually. I'm a truck driver, and I run from Michigan, Indiana to Florida. So I'm,
all right, great.
I'm hoping to actually make that event. That sounds great.
Definitely. Definitely introduce yourself at the meet and greet after the show.
Oh, well, that would be awesome. Yeah, I'm going to try to make that work. I get down to usually around Wildwood, just above Tampa, Florida. so it wouldn't be too much farther to go on down to Fort Lauderdale.
Not far at all. That would be cool. Okay, what else is going on?
I just want to share with you a story I thought you might find funny, but I was listening to the show the other night with Kat, the lady that does the cat investigation.
Yeah, the private eye, sure.
Yeah, and several times, and I hope you can hear me okay. I'm driving now, cell phone, of course. But a couple of times during the show, there's a little bit of a mention about animals coming back in or finding their way back home and, on their own. And a few years ago, I lived in Wilmington, North Carolina, and I lived in downtown Wilmington. And I lived in an old 1900 Queen Anne house on the top floor. And I had this cat, the thing was Stick. And he was always an indoor cat, never been outside, really, unless it was accidental. But one week, early during the week, he got missing. And I think I know how he got out, but I'm not sure. But anyway, about 4 days had gone by, and he hadn't come back. I searched the neighborhood, talked to several of the neighbors, and I hadn't found him yet. I was just at the point where I was going to do what she was talking about, and make signs up and put them all around. I was almost at the point of doing that. And on a Friday night, and one of my friends came over just to hang out. I was going to watch a movie. And everybody knew how upset I was about Stick being gone. He was my boy.
Oh, sure.
And we were sitting there watching a movie, and I had a den. It was right off of the dining room. I had a formal dining room, and we're off to the side of the den. And we're sitting there, my friend says, Kevin, look right there. And I'm like, look where? He said, look in the dining room. And I had to move from where I was to get sight to the dining room. So I stood up and looked into the dining room. And there sat Stick in the middle of the dining room, under the dining room table, eating a slice of pizza.
How long had he been there?
We have no idea. See, what I'd done was I left it. I had a back a screening porch on the back of the house. And, of course, this is on the second level, but I left that door open from the steps to the porch, and there was a door that went from the porch to like a little mudroom, washroom. And I left both of those ajar just a little bit just in case he came back.
Right. Well, he sure did.
He could get in himself, So he had came back, and there he was, and sitting under the dining room table eating a slice of pizza.
Must have been starving.
But the funny thing is, I didn't have any pizza.
Oh, he brought it in from the outside, huh? He must have called Domino's or something.
Yeah, it's lucky. And I thought he'd gotten pizza out of the trash somewhere. But then I went over and looked at it, and it was obvious. It was fresh pizza. It was not garbage pizza.
You think he could have brought in the whole carton and shared it with you?
I don't know. I just thought that was funny how that happened.
I love it. All right, thanks, Kevin. Hopefully we'll see you down there in Fort Lauderdale, okay?
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to that.
All right, super. And we have text and tweets. Thomas, what do we have?
Hey, one more from Dr. Knowledge. What state is the city of California in?
Yeah, thanks.
Now I'm going to guess?
What kind of a question is that?
I'm asking you, what state is the city of California
in? Oh, where is that? Somebody just called from there, right? A couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
California, Portland, Oregon.
No. Do you have any friends named Louie? No, forget it. You'll never get the hint.
Kentucky.
Yeah. And Pennsylvania.
California, Kentucky, and Pennsylvania.
And Pennsylvania.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
That's the one we had a call around a couple weeks ago. That's right.
Hey, so this one from Jeffrey in Snowflake, Arizona. I'm so frustrated. Can you talk a little bit about why gas prices go up and down so much?
Greed. It's supply and demand. That's what it comes down to. But, they will gouge you as soon as they can. And the prices are too low for such in a while, they will pop them back up.
Is it like the gas station owner that actually makes the physical price?
No, it's really not. It's really not. The gas companies, gas station companies that own most of the gas stations will do that, but it's all whatever the supplier brings it into them for.
So if you order like a million gallons of gas, they're going to tell you need to sell it at this price?
Well, they will recommend it, and you need to be competitive, and you got to be careful. You can't be involved in price fixing.
Yeah,
You can't have eight gas companies, gasoline companies, oil companies getting together and plotting the, you know, fixed price, you know, they'll get in trouble with that.
All I know is last month when we were in Boulder, we were driving, and it was like $2.69 a gallon.
Well, how much is it here in California? It's like $4.79 for premium or something?
It's not quite there. Well, yeah, it's close to there. It's like $4.35 average.
It's like $2.60 in St. Louis.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know why there's such a disparity.
Jeffrey doesn't either. That's why he's asking.
It's crazy. Do me a favor, though. I need you to check a story for me.
Okay.
Of a serial killer that may be on the loose in Detroit.
Right now?
Yeah. Check that out for me. If you get the story, let me know and we'll put you on.
Okay.
That's I'm beginning to hear that. Let's check in with Lewis. Speaking of Louisville, Kentucky, let's go to Lewis. Welcome to the program. Hi, Lewis.
This is Louise, George.
Oh, Louise. He forgot the E on the end there. Okay.
George, you are the same age that Julius Caesar...
How do you spell your name?
L-O-U-I-S-E.
All right, good.
You are the same age that Julius Caesar was when Cleopatra met him, and she was 21 years old.
Really?
Yes, he was 30 years older than she.
Well, how about that?
And Julius Caesar had been married 4 times, divorced all 4 wives, had no children at all, no sons.
Were you one of the wives?
No, that was after he left the other 4 women, he went to Cleopatra. And that's
who you were.
Yes, yes. And that's when he had his only son, Julius Caesar, J.C.
That's right.
And so Julius Caesar, 37 years of marriage, no children, 4 wives. He got rid of all of them. He married the same 4 women in this lifetime.
What makes you so convinced that you are the reincarnated Cleopatra?
Well, I have several memories of the past. One of them was when she was sitting on the throne in her throne room. She covered herself in a burqa. She did not sit before the men in the Egyptian clothes. She always covered herself up because she was always around men. And when she was in the conference room, she did not want her femininity to overshadow her intelligence. The second reason I know is because the tomb down in Jordan is the one where she is buried hidden. On the ceiling of that tomb is the body of Alexander, because the Napataeans created that tomb. And so when you go in, you don't go in from the ground floor. When they built it from the top floor. I have many memories of
wow.
that.
In Germany today, they found a 1,000-year-old sarcophagus of an archbishop.
I heard that and I got very excited because I thought they were going to talk about Egypt.
You like it. Those Egyptian stories you go nuts with, don't you?
Okay, Mark Anthony, I have to tell you about Mark Anthony because all of this has to do with Father's Day. Mark Anthony, Julius Caesar and Mark Anthony were womanizers. They were very proud of their ability with women. Mark Anthony had 3 wives, 6 children, 2 by the first wives, 2 girls by the first wives.
3 wives at the same time?
No, different times.
Different times.
2 boys by the second time and 2 boys by the third time.
I wonder what the bloodline is like now with that. What do you think?
A lot of people are around that belong to Mark Anthony, Julius Caesar, and Cleopatra because her 2 boys by Mark Anthony, which was the boy Alexander Helias and Ptolemy Philadelphus, nobody knows what happened to them.
All right, so they don't know that they are who they are. Okay, but Louise is, she believes to be the reincarnated Cleopatra. And do we have time for another quick call? Well, probably not. I'll wait until we come back and we'll take some more calls to be sure. But Tom's checking out a story. Apparently, there's a serial killer running around Detroit in my old hometown. I want to get to the bottom of that story to be sure. And at the end of the program tonight, we're going to have a little visitor, a little surprise visitor. I'll tell you about that a little bit later on. Don't want to blow the surprise yet, to be sure. But do spend some time going to our website, digest it, because we've got a full staff that puts things up there. Don't forget, also, sign up for the free Coast Zone newsletter, which is delivered to you electronically every morning, sometime after the show. It's a full newsletter. It's free. I love these free things. So take advantage of that. You could go to coasttocoastam.com and sign up for the Coast Zone newsletter, grab that. And again, it's delivered straight to your computer every day in the morning, and you'll enjoy it. We're going to come back with more open lines on Coast to Coast AM.